Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Jonathan Rosen's The Best Minds. Sophie, I have to ask, did this one hit you as hard as it hit me?
Oh, it absolutely did, Sam. This is one of those books that stays with you, and it's not just a biography. It's a social history, a memoir, and a gut punch all in one.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, can you set the stage? Who's Michael Laudier?
Michael was Rosen's childhood friend, a guy who seemed destined for greatness. He was brilliant, charismatic, and went to Yale Law School. But then schizophrenia hit, and it derailed everything.
And the twist is he kind of came back. He wrote a novel about his experience, got a book deal, and ended up on the cover of the New York Times Magazine. They called him the proof that you can beat mental illness.
Right? And that's the part that gets me. The media built this whole narrative of triumph. He was the hero who conquered madness, and everyone bought into it, including Rosen himself.
But the cracks were there. He was ambivalent about his medication because it dulled his mind. Can you imagine being a guy whose whole identity is his intellect, and then the cure makes you feel like a shadow of yourself?
That's the tragic irony. The very thing that made him special, his mind, is what ultimately betrayed him. He stopped taking his meds, the delusions came back, and things fell apart.
And then the unthinkable happened. He killed his mother. I mean, I remember reading that and just putting the book down for a second.
It's devastating, but Rosen doesn't let it become a simple story of a monster. He forces us to ask, is Michael a murderer, or is he a victim of a disease that stole his reason?
And the legal system doesn't have room for that nuance. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity, and he's been in a psychiatric facility ever since.
But Rosen's bigger point is about us, about society. He's critical of the deinstitutionalization movement, which sounded good on paper, but left people without support. Michael had every advantage, and the system still failed him.
So what hope is there for someone without his advantages? That's the question that haunts you.
And then there's the romanticizing of madness. We love the idea of the tortured genius, but we're terrified of the actual reality. Rosen says we need new stories, ones about endurance and care, not just triumph.
The part that got me was Rosen's own guilt. He asked himself, could I have done more? Should I have seen the signs? And he admits he was seduced by the happy narrative because it was easier to believe.
That self-awareness is what makes the book so powerful. He's not a distant observer. He's implicated in the myth-making, and he's brave enough to confess that.
And the title, The Best Minds, it's ironic. It's from a poem by A.E. Housman, and it echoes Ginsberg's howl. The best minds of a generation destroyed by madness. We're still doing that.
It's a warning, but it's also a testament to the power of storytelling. Rosen doesn't offer easy answers. He just asks us to look clearly at the human condition in all its beauty and horror.
I think the takeaway for me is that we need to be humble about the mind. We put so much faith in intellect, but it's fragile. It can break, and we need to have systems of care that actually work.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into stories like this, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. This book reminds us that behind every headline, there's a human story, and we owe it to each other to listen with empathy. We'll see you in the next one.